It's great to see everybody, and let's remember that Jesus is building his church. This is a wonderful church family, and I think it's so important that every town, every village, every community has church families like this that are salt and light, that can reach out with the love of Jesus into their communities. Just to hear that you're going to have 350 children from local schools coming through the Easter journey. What do you call it? Easter story trail. The Easter story trail is just amazing. Really, really amazing. We did something similar, similar in a way, just before the pandemic, about 2.5 years ago. We had a... The batteries might be needing... Let's go. Should I just carry on? There we go. Let's be on. Absolutely. We had something similar. We did a Lord's Prayer experience. You know, the prayer that the Lord gave his disciples, which we know is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we turned the building that we normally meet in into a place where people could come and go through a process of praying the Lord's Prayer. And it was just amazing, actually, to see people encounter the Lord in such a wonderful way in going through that Lord's Prayer experience. My prayer is that as children come and as people in the community come and go through the Easter story trail, that they will truly encounter him. And whoever designed that did a great job. I've been to Jerusalem, and in many ways it does feel like you're walking through some of those streets in Jerusalem with the way it's been set up. Really remarkable, so well done. And well done as a church family for gathering and continuing to be here as a house of prayer and as a base to reach out with God's love and goodness into this community. I really do believe your best days are ahead. I'm always known for saying the best is yet to come. And I think that's a good saying. You don't know what to say, say the best is yet to come, because it is. It really is. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 10. And today I'd like to speak on Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. And I'm going to read Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, from the English Standard Version of the Bible. It says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he's calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him along the way." I preach every week, sometimes more than once a week. And what I love is to look at an encounter with Jesus. To see how, in this case, Bartimaeus, a blind man, encountered Jesus and his life was completely transformed. In verse 46, he was a blind beggar sitting by the roadside. He was living a life of limitations and begging. But then he ends in verse 52, "And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him along the way." He went from a life of limitations and begging to a life of healing, sight, and freedom. With man, impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And I love those verses that we read as we sang our first song today that remind us of how all things are possible with God. There are many things that are impossible with man, but an encounter with God can change everything. In this passage of Scripture, we see three red letter phrases. And what I mean by that is some versions of the Bible printed have the words of Jesus written in red. And listen to what Jesus says. In verse 49, he says, "Call him." Verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" And verse 52, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." One version of the Bible that I really am enjoying at the moment is the Passion Translation. And this is the way it translates verse 52. "Your faith heals you. Go in peace with your sight restored." An encounter with Jesus changed his life forever. And Jesus uses this phrase. He says, "Your faith has made you well." And in this passage, we see five steps to a faith that receives from God. Would you like to know what those steps are? We'll come back next week to find out. No, it doesn't work quite work like that. Okay, five steps, five things about a faith that receives from God. And God doesn't show favoritism. He doesn't only make things available to one person. In fact, it says in Acts 10, verse 34 and 35, he says that God doesn't show favoritism. Anyone from any nation who does what's right before him will receive his blessing and his glory. And God wants each of us to encounter him and to receive from him. Verse 47, step number one, he heard about Jesus. It says in verse 47, the first part of the verse, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth." Now imagine the blind man is sitting there by the roadside begging as he does every day. And then on a particular day, there's a commotion, there's a noise. As this crowd comes in, a great crowd comes in, and the great crowd starts to leave. And he says, what's going on? And he hears it's Jesus of Nazareth. I wonder what he had heard about this Jesus of Nazareth that caused him to start to cry out. Perhaps he had heard that Jesus was going about healing and setting people free. It says in Acts 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that he encountered. And he begins then to cry out, which brings me to step number two. He called out to Jesus. Verse 47 and 48 says, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Exclamation mark, which means it was loud and expressive. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." His faith was persistent, determined, and unrelenting. He began to cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And then something wonderful happens. Jesus hears the cry of his heart. And I want to tell us today that Jesus hears the cry of the human heart. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love the way when you read the Psalms, you see the whole gamut, the whole spectrum of human emotions. The psalmist asks questions, like Psalm 13. He says, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord?" And then he ends by saying, "But you have been good to me." The psalms often start with this cry of the human heart out to God, and then God responds, and they end coming to a position of faith. And it doesn't matter what you're going through in life, you'll find comfort, you'll find direction, you'll find answers in God's word. And he had heard about Jesus, he begins to cry out to Jesus, and then Jesus hears his cry and says, come. Paul shared with us this morning one of the ways that the gospel is expressed, the good news. Come and see. There's two we see in the Bible. Go and tell, come and see. Go and tell, come and see. And I think those two work. If you read the Gospels, they repeat themselves again and again and again. And Jesus says, come. Come. You know, a key word in the Gospel of Matthew is the word come. No less than 10 times, Jesus says, come, walk on the water to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And here Jesus says, come. And what does Bartimaeus do? The Bible says, throwing off his cloak in verse 15, he sprang up and came to Jesus. In the Passion Translation, it says this: so he threw off his beggar's cloak, jumped up, and made his way to Jesus. My third step is this: he cast aside the old to take hold of the new. And if we're so intent on holding on to the old, we never let go and come into freedom and receive the new. He wore a beggar's cloak, and in the culture of the day, a blind beggar would wear a particular cloak that would identify him as being able to beg. And he threw off that identity to go and take hold of a new identity in Christ. I love the way that he didn't take his identity from his problem. And I want to encourage us today, you are not your problem or your challenge. Now, it's now about 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with bowel cancer, and I had surgery, I had radiotherapy. It was an 18-month journey where, you know, it was touch and go at some points. And on that whole process, I prayed, I went to the physicians, and I don't think it's lack of faith to go to a doctor or to have medical treatment. In actual fact, you know, in a church, you have a pastor who's like a shepherd, but we don't trust in the pastor, we trust in the great shepherd. And when I go to a doctor, I'm not trusting in the doctor, I'm trusting in the great physician. Are you with me? I'm trusting in him that he's going to direct and give wisdom. And every good and perfect gift comes from God. So all the medical breakthroughs and all that sort of stuff, I think it's just God inspiring people, believers and unbelievers, with ideas and things that help people. And when I came through that journey, and it was a difficult journey, it really was. But when I came through it, I was asked by people that I would stand up and speak about being a cancer survivor. And I would often say to people, I don't feel that that's what God's called me to do, to go around talking about being someone who's survived cancer. Now, I do refer to that testimony just as I am right now, as a landmark of God being faithful to me and what he's done for me, he can do for others too. I think that's a wonderful thing. But so often people take their identity from their challenge. You are not your challenge or your problem or your difficulty. You're a child of God. And when Bartimaeus came to Jesus, he came and he made his way to Jesus. He threw aside his old identity to take on his new identity in Christ. He comes to Jesus in verse 51. And Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, I'm blind. I can't see. I'm reduced to begging. No, that's not what he did. He said, I want to receive my sight. When he came to Jesus, he didn't dwell on the problem. He asked for the solution. What do you want me to do for you? Now, do you think that Jesus didn't know that he was blind. He comes to Jesus. He can't see. He's probably trying to find his way through the crowd. He probably stands and he's looking in the wrong direction. In Africa, I grew up in Africa. In Africa, you see lots of blind people. And often, you know, they don't have glasses to cover their eyes. Sometimes their eyes are open, but there's not that spark of life in their eyes necessarily. And you can see there's a problem here. Jesus knew that he was a blind man, not just because he was the Son of God, because he was just a human being, you know. And then he asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He doesn't tell Jesus his problem. He asks for the solution. Now in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything." So God encourages us to pray about things. In anything, pray about everything. He says, "Don't be anxious about anything, in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, prayer is not telling God the problem. Prayer is coming to God with his promises and asking him for solutions. It's like petitions. Let's say that there was an accident down the road here and they decided they wanted to put a pedestrian crossing. People, the community felt we should have a pedestrian crossing. And somebody then starts a petition. What we do is we recognize there's a problem, but we're petitioning for a solution so that something changes. And when we come to him in faith, we should come and ask him for solutions. I love the way the Voice translation puts this verse. Jesus says, "What do you want from me?" And Bartimaeus says, "Teacher, I want to see. I want to see." My final point, number 5. So far we've seen he heard about Jesus. He called out to Jesus. He cast aside the old to take a hold of the new. He asked for the solution. He didn't dwell on the problem. And number 5, he received and he followed. In verse 52, he receives his sight. And the Bible says, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him along the way. Now, in this particular case, he received immediate healing or an immediate answer to his request. But there are other cases in the Bible where, like the lepers who came to Jesus, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. Sometimes we see an instant answer to our prayer, and other times it takes a while. I am a pastor here in Cambridgeshire, and I travel in different places of the world. And I got to preach at a Baptist church, actually, Scottsboro Baptist Church in South Africa. And my dad was always a good man, a generous man, a kind man. In growing up in Zimbabwe, he was well-respected in the community, but he wasn't a believer. And I was the first member of our family to become a Christian, to give my life to Jesus. And I started to pray for my dad 35 years ago. And I prayed that he would encounter Jesus. And when I started praying, I was hoping that he'd get saved, give his life to Jesus, like almost that year. You know, as a young man, I was 15 years old, I was expecting it to happen like that, you know. But it didn't. Years later, 35 years later, I got an email from my dad. And he said, "I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." 35 years later. To my shame, I actually thought the Nigerians had hacked his email. And I was expecting another email to come through saying, "Please, can you send us so much money?" I thought that's what had happened, to be honest with you. But you know what happened? 35 years later, a Baptist pastor in Scottsboro, South Africa, which is in KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa, had a conversation with my dad and asked him, what's stopping you from giving your life to Jesus? And he said, I want to do that. Now, I had asked him many times. He had heard me preach many times, but he had never surrendered his life to Jesus. And sometimes there's an instant answer, and other times it takes a long time. And I love the way the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Sometimes we get it straight away, other times there's patience required. Now today I want to encourage us with a simple thought. Well, let me end my final point, number five. An encounter with Jesus should lead to an ongoing relationship with him. When he encountered Jesus, he recovered his sight. The Bible says he followed him along the way. And you see how his life was completely transformed. But he didn't just go back to his old way of life. He was healed and he followed Jesus along the way. This is my question today, or my encouragement today, in a nutshell. Jesus can hear the cry of our heart. Let's not give up. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray and do not give up. It says, you will receive, reap a harvest if you do not give up. And when we pray, he can hear the cry of our heart. And as we were praying for Ukraine, I know exactly what Jenny meant when she said, we sometimes feel inadequate. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray. And in those times, I honestly believe that Jesus hears the very cry of our heart. He hears that what's deep inside of us as we cry out to him. I would encourage you today, beyond the crowd, Jesus can hear the cry of your heart. And he says, come to me. And when we come to him, he says, what do you want me to do for you? My grandmother used to say to me, she must have had some kind of a faith, but she wasn't a Jesus follower as I know it now. But she would often say to me, I don't pray for myself, I only pray for others. And that's not being humble. It's actually being silly, to be honest. Because we should be able to pray for ourselves, saying, Lord, I need something from you. I need your help. And Jesus says to Bartimaeus, what do you want? And he says, I want to see. Today, if Jesus were to ask you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say? I want to see. Dot, dot, dot. Fill in the blank. I want to see. What breakthrough? What petition do you have from him? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, how you can receive from God by faith is start to find promises from the Bible about who he is. When I was diagnosed with cancer, the first thing I did is I got promises from the Bible about healing. And three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I would bring those promises. I'd go by myself, I'd sit down, I'd read through the promises in the Bible, and I'd ask God for those to be my portion. Jill and I, my wife's Jill, and I will pray over any situation you're facing. But let's say we're facing a financial challenge. We'll get God's promises of his provision. If it's something to do with our children, we'll get his promises about our children. And we begin to pray and say, Lord, this is what you say. Let's start to see him more clearly. Because faith begins where God's will is known. That's where faith starts. And build your faith. And then begin to cry out persistently for that in your life. And as you do, through the crowd, through the billions of voices that are crying out for different things, Jesus can hear you. And he wants you to come to him and ask him for what you need. Should we bow our heads and let's just pray for a moment? Let's do that. Lord, I thank you for each person here. And thank you, Lord, that you know the cry of our heart. For some, it's guidance for the future. For others, it's provision. For others, maybe there's a concern that you have over provision and prices going up. For others, it's for a family member, like my prayer was for 35 years, that my dad would have salvation. For some, it's healing. Lord, I pray that we would fill our minds and our hearts with your promises of who you are, what you've done. That our faith would not rest on our wisdom, but on the power of God. Help us, Lord, to cry out to you. And when you call us, to step out in faith and to ask you for the solution. Right where you are, just under your breath, ask him for the solution. Lord, I want to see. I want to see my family member saved. I want to see your future for my life. I want to see healing in my body. I want to see you move. And Lord, as I receive from you, it might be instant, and in some cases it might be progressive. But whatever it is, thank you that this would lead me to a greater dependency on you as I follow you along the way. Lord, I thank you for this church family. Thank you for the love in this room, for you and for one another. And I thank you for their heart's cry, that you would use them as a church family to reach people in this community for Jesus. And I really sense that Lord just wants to encourage you, that he's at work in you, preparing you, strengthening you, equipping you. And in this season, you're being exposed to different things so that you can be ready for all that God has for you as a church family. Thank you, Lord, that anyone who comes here will be encountered with love, with acceptance, with kindness, with grace. And I ask you for a harvest in Sandy. I ask that you bring people in to this church family, where they can be loved, where they can be taught to love you, where they can grow in relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would add two families to this church. I ask you specifically what we want to see. I ask that you would bring in two families into this church who don't know you, but who want to know you, who would encounter you, and would grow in relationship with you. People who have a sphere of influence outside of the sphere of influence of the people here. We thank you, Lord, that you're building your church. Thank you that the work that you've started in this church, you will bring to completion. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's been great to be with you this morning. And I know that some in the church family here are joining us and other churches for a weekend away in September. That's going to be loads of fun. And times of worship, etc. And I just want to say, you know, when in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14, verse 23, it says, when Barnabas came and he saw this particular church at Antioch, he was filled with joy and he encouraged them to remain faithful to the Lord with all their hearts. He saw evidence of God's grace or God's goodness. And today, I want to say that I can see evidence of God's grace on you as a church family. You might feel like, oh, it's a tough season. We don't have a pastor resident, and we've got different speakers, and some are better than this guy today, and all that, you know, that's all fine. But, you know, you look at all that and you say, what's going on? And I want to tell you, there's something special here. And God can see your faithfulness. God can see your heart's cry. And I honestly believe that he is preparing things. And Can I close with one very simple story?
No, I'm going over my time.
Very, 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 very simple story. When we first planted the church that I lead in St. Neots, we started with 12 of us, 6 in our family, my wife and I, and 4 children, and 2 other families. We were all from Zimbabwe. We leafleted the area. We put out maybe 2,000 leaflets in the area. Do you know how many people came? Nobody came. For 6 months, nobody came. No new people came. We did everything we knew how. And then I went to a conference, a leaders conference, and at this conference I heard this guy talk about planting a church in Mongolia, out of Mongolia. And what he did is they started every meal time, they would pray a prayer. When they sat down, they would say, "Thank you, Lord, for the food," and then they would say a prayer, simple prayer. They would say, "Lord, give us a harvest in Mongolia." And they did that for months. And then God started to bring people into the church. So we started that. Give us a harvest in St. Louis. We prayed that every mealtime. Like Barnabas, Bartimaeus. He was persistent. He just kept on knocking. And that slowly evolved. I know that Christians don't like using the word evolved. That slowly adapted, changed. To us praying for 2 families. And we started to pray, "Lord, bring us 2 families." And we were all Zimbabwean, so we were praying, "Lord, bring us 2 English families." For the first 6 months, nobody came. There were 12 of us. It actually got to the point, there was a meeting at school, Middlefield School, which you might remember, and there was a big window. And every time someone drove into the car park, it was a gravel car park, and it was noisy every time someone drove in. So the whole church, all 12 people, was 11 of them, me and 11 of them, would all look out the window every single time. The car came, thinking it might be someone. And after about 4 months, I said, "I've had enough of this." I banned everyone from looking out the window. I said, "It doesn't matter what happens, don't look out the window." You know what happened? God brought 2 families into our church. One family had 2 special needs children, and I'd never in my life had contact with special needs children. Because in Zimbabwe, we just didn't do that. And the mum was like 300 pounds, and she was huge. And this family came in, but you know, they were such a treasure as a family. The other was a couple who hadn't been to church for 15 years. God brought these people into our church, English families, and then the church began to grow. The first 6 months, 12 people. Then we grew from 12 to 60 in 6 months. Okay? Now it's been a journey along the way, and you know, this church has got a long history, and we've got a short history. But the bottom line is this: God gave us a prayer strategy. And I want to encourage you, why don't you start praying? "Lord, give us a harvest. Insane. Give us a harvest. Bring people in." And I believe as we step out in faith and be persistent with that, I believe God will hear our cry, and He will add people to the church, and He will bring in, who will be part of this loving family, and will enable you as a church to reach other people for Jesus. Does that make sense to you? Thank you so much. I know I've spoken longer than I should. Thank you so much for it. It's been great to spend time with you today. I believe we're going to sing another song, is that right?